Okay, good evening, everybody. Thank you so much for coming. On behalf of Summer in the Forest, you are really, really welcome. We feel so privileged to have everybody here. So thank you for that. And I want to say another really big thank you because, as you can probably tell from my accent, I'm not from New York. And we really feel at home here now because you really laid on the weather for us. So, Summer in the Forest is an amazing film, a critically acclaimed film about the life and work of Jean Vanier and the large community. Now, Jean Vanier is nearly 90 years old, but around 50 years ago, he became a pioneer of inclusion, and he envisioned a society where everybody belongs. And out of that dream, he founded, together with two people with intellectual disabilities, a movement called L'Arche. But in fact, what they really did was they made a home together. So Jean bought a little house near Paris, near a forest, that's why it's called Summer in the Forest, and they started to live together. And now, 50 years later, there are over 150 communities around the world who have taken their inspiration and are part of the L'Arche Federation. And it is a bright light shining in our world today. And he's inspired many others to do similar things across the world. So he's a Templeton Prize winner, an amazing man, and a really loving man. And as Jean is Michel, who is one of the founder members with him, said, Jean loves me very much. And he speaks words which are sincere. And I think what Jean has done is he's taught the world that every single person is here for a reason. They're here to enrich our society. They're here to make a valuable contribution. And we need to give everybody that opportunity to do that. And what Summer in the Forest speaks of is this amazing journey from 50 years ago to the present day. And what I would like to do now is we're going to show a little trailer of the film, and I'll introduce Randall, who is the maker of this wonderful film.
Just don't worry, the sound's supposed to be on. Is it? It is? Sorry, Brad, do you want to speak? You speak about the film.
Okay, I'm going to be a philosopher. I made this film, and I think you find a lot of filmmakers, they, when I'm typical of this, I really, hello? If I just talk more now.
Hello? Oh. It was too loud. Sorry, can you all hear me now? Yes, you can. I'm not at all a lot of filmmakers that I find it very difficult to talk about my films. And I think with this one, even more reluctant to talk about it because there are so many profound layers in the community of L'Arche and Jean Vanier's deep wisdom. That I feel what I did was going to merely point the camera at what was there. It took me a long time. But all the beauty in the film is something that I found in this place. I'll tell you a couple of stories. One's about the journey I took to make the film, and the other one's about the Queen. And they're sort of connected. I had a great aunt called May, and when I was four, she would come into the dining room after our sort of Sunday lunch, and she would rush over to me and grab me. And she was a person the family described as simple. She had a very distorted face. It was really, for me at that age, I was really frightened of her. And that fear stayed with me really until something like 10 years ago when I started asking myself the question, you can see I'm a real beginner in your world. I started asking myself the question why I was afraid. And by a series of coincidences, I went to a large community in London. And on the first day I was there, I felt the most incredible relief. It was as if I'd finally come to a world where I could stop pretending, where relationships were authentic, and where people were really listening to each other. And it was that journey, that was the beginning of the journey, which led me to meet John Rannie, which I was very, very privileged to do. Which again came about through a huge coincidence. And then to meet someone, which is another extraordinary coincidence, in front of the film. And then finally to find myself in a very beautiful chateau-like building on the edge of the forest. And I went into the chateau, and sitting around the table were the people that Robert referred to earlier, the people that Jean Vanier rescued. And I thought, fantastic, here's the story. All I have to do is tell the story, which is sort of more or less true. But then I had an enormous challenge, because how much I tried to persuade people to do things, I couldn't direct people. I'd had all these years, I'd made 30, 40 films. I had all this sort of professional experience, but I couldn't persuade people to, and I think what I was asking them to do, to pretend. I couldn't persuade them to walk from A to B, to do the thing that I thought would reveal their lives. And then one day, a character called Michelle, who became the star of the film, became really cross with me. And he said he absolutely refused to be filmed. And I couldn't understand why. And then I had a very sleepless night. The following morning, I went up to him and said, look, I've got to make this film. I've got to switch the camera on. And I don't mind what you do, but please could we do some filming that says something about your life? And again, he said, no, Rhiannon, I'm not doing anything. But 2 hours later, he came back and said, come with me in the little truck, and we're going to go to the forest. And he took me right to the center of this enormous forest, and there was a monument to the very last people to be sent to the Holocaust. And what he was saying, I think, was the violence and the awfulness of the war connected in his mind to a moment when he had a medical accident that gave him brain damage that led to him having, as again Robert referred to, spirits being put away in the institution, the violence institution. So from that moment, I sort of learned to trust everybody to offer their stories. And the whole of this film is filled with people's intense sort of honesty to show their lives. And I think that's why it has so much power. And I'm talking very seriously, but it has an enormous amount of humour as well, an enormous amount of creativity. So we finished the film, and out of the blue, because Jean Vanier, who'd come from a very grand family, and as a naval officer, he'd met the Queen on her 21st birthday in South Africa, and had stayed friends with her ever since, but hadn't met her, except occasionally formally and written letters to her. An invitation came from the Queen that Jean Vanier should go and have tea with the Queen. And Jean wrote back and said, I don't want to come have the Queen a cup of tea with you, but I would love to come along with all the people from the film and have tea with you. And eventually, after a lot of changings of dates and times, that's what we did. And we went into the Queen's reception room, and the Queen had prepared tea for us and sat down. We were alone with her. And I was with David, who's one of the stars of the film, has Down syndrome. And I was with Celine, who's also in the film, and with Jean. And Jean started a conversation with the Queen, and we talked, and she asked about the film. And then he suddenly said to her, Your Majesty, I see you as a holy woman. You've given up your life to serve others. You have no power, but you've created unity. And I'll always carry that in my heart. And Queen was very, very moved. And it's a wonderful story because I think what it shows is how Jean Vanier, somehow, even in the meeting of the Queen, turns the world upside down. He shows us what really, really matters, which is that we get to know each other, we make sacrifices, and that's the way in which we discover the truth about how to relate. And that, as Robert says, that's the stepping stone to creating a world where everyone belongs. So thank you very much, an incredibly earnest speech, but thank you very, very much. I'm hugely grateful for this event, and hope you enjoy the film when you see it on Friday.
Everything from me that will be weak.